From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Wednesday, January 7th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. NASCAR Commissioner Steve Phelps is stepping down by the end of the month, just weeks after a combative legal challenge over the sport's charter system and revenue sharing ended in a settlement. In a press release, NASCAR called the departure a personal decision by Phelps, who joined the sanctioning body's leadership team in 2005. NASCAR says there are no immediate plans to replace the commissioner role, with Phelps' responsibilities to be delegated to others within the organization. Mecklenburg County says 2025 marked the first year on record that air pollution stayed within healthy limits every day. For a decade, the county has met health-based air quality standards, but still averaged 5 unhealthy air quality days each year. Unhealthy air quality days are caused by high levels of 2 major pollutants, ground-level ozone and particle pollution. Thanks to favorable weather conditions and ongoing pollution reduction efforts, as well as limited impacts from wildfires, prescribed burns, and fireworks, there were no unhealthy air quality days in 2025. Mecklenburg County is one of only 3 counties in the state to have a dedicated air quality agency. Governor Josh Stein on Tuesday explained why he's endorsing the challenger to incumbent State House Representative Carla Cunningham in March's Democratic primary. Speaking with reporters in Raleigh, Stein said he was disturbed by a speech Cunningham made about voting with Republicans to override his veto on a bill that makes sheriffs work more closely with federal immigration enforcement.
You heard the same speech I did on the floor, where she said that some people are better than other people, and that is not something I can endorse.
In the speech, Cunningham said not all cultures are created equal. She has since said she wouldn't change her vote, but might have chosen better words to explain her choice. Stein is supporting her challenger, Rodney Sadler, for the seat. U.S. Attorney Russ Ferguson was on Charlotte Talks Tuesday and explained why his office filed federal charges against DeCarlos Brown Jr., the man accused of stabbing and killing Irina Zarutska last year on the Blue Line light rail. Ferguson said the location of the crime has implications that go beyond the norm for a stabbing and make it more akin to terrorism.
That is not only a crime against that person, but it's going to change the whole city because people are going to be afraid to ride the Blue Line. People are going to be afraid to take it to UNCC to go to their college courses. They're going to be afraid to take it to work.
Brown is also awaiting trial on state charges in the killing. If convicted, he could face the death penalty. You can listen to that entire episode of Charlotte Talks at WFAE.org. The lack of a state budget is hindering North Carolina's ability to keep up with key business documents. Adam Wagner reports from Raleigh.
North Carolina's Secretary of State's office handled more than 1.7 million business registrations or filings last year. That included a record number of business renewals and a record-setting number of new business formations in the second half of the year. The agency is struggling to keep up with all of that paperwork. Secretary of State Elaine Marshall says failing to add staff could soon have consequences for the state's economy.
North Carolina's business community is growing rapidly. Our workload has doubled. Our staffing and resources have not. This is not just a challenge. It is a risk that we will not be able to deliver services that our businesses need and deserve and pay for.
Marshall says the Secretary of State's office needs a new state budget to pass with funding for additional staff. The General Assembly hasn't passed a full budget since 2023. Adam Wagner, North Carolina Newsroom, Capital Bureau.
Duke Energy plans to replace its existing coal power plants with nuclear reactors before 2040. These power plants take an average of 10 years to build. Zachary Turner has more on recent steps the utility has taken to advance plans for the new nuclear plants.
Duke Energy submitted an early site permit application for potential new nuclear development in North Carolina. Duke is asking federal regulators to approve a site near the Bellows Creek Steam Station in Stokes County for possible nuclear development to replace the existing coal-burning units. The utility says the permit would reduce future costs and the risks of delays if it builds a new nuclear plant there. Duke previously estimated that the application would cost around $35 million. The plant itself would cost billions. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
North Carolina state officials say the new I-485 express lanes are on track to open in late February.
Drivers will have the option to pay a toll to use the lanes between I-77 and Independence Boulevard in Charlotte. Initially, the rates will fluctuate with the time of day and day of week, and later transition to dynamic pricing based on demand for the lanes. Last October, a developer withdrew plans for a proposed data center in Matthews after residents objected. Now the same developer is pursuing a new site in North Carolina's Triad region. Zachary Turner has more.
Real estate developer Engineered Land Solutions is trying to rezone 1,800 acres in Stokes County for data center development. This includes energy infrastructure, such as natural gas-burning generators. The company previously tried to build Project Accelerate in Matthews, but withdrew its rezoning application amid strong public dissent. The speculative facility would lease server space to yet unknown tenants just north of Duke Energy's existing Bellows Creek coal plant. The Stokes County Board of Commissioners is hosting a public hearing Monday evening in Danbury. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
North Carolina Supreme Court Justice Anita Earls says she has been diagnosed with breast cancer. In a video posted to X on Tuesday, Earls said she received the diagnosis during a routine mammogram late last year and has started treatment.
I had surgery over the holidays and will continue a course of treatment to address this disease. I'll be honest, a diagnosis like this requires some serious attention. But if you know me, you know I don't back down from a tough fight.
Earls is a registered Democrat and says the diagnosis has not affected her plans to seek re-election. The Carolina Panthers were back on the practice field Tuesday as they prepare for the NFL playoffs. They'll host the LA Rams Saturday afternoon at Bank of America Stadium. It'll be the second meeting between the teams this season after the Panthers won 31-27 in November. Carolina enters the wild card round with a mix of young talent and veteran leadership on the field. Head coach Dave Canales said he wants his players to embrace the postseason atmosphere.
I've been there. I know what it feels like. And it's so important that we don't just block it all out, that we take it in and use it. Use that energy. Use Bank of America Stadium. Playing at home is why it's so important to win the division. You get that first home game, and we're excited about that.
Kickoff is at 4:30 Saturday afternoon. A chance of rain is in the forecast. Gary McFadden is facing the biggest challenge in his 7-year tenure as Mecklenburg sheriff. Under a little-known state law, 5 Mecklenburg voters this week filed a petition seeking his removal from office, alleging attempted extortion and corruption and willful misconduct and maladministration. Mecklenburg County District Attorney Spencer Merriweather quickly asked the State Bureau of Investigation to look into the allegations to determine whether a Superior Court judge should determine whether McFadden stays in office. Steve Harrison spoke with our Nick Della Canale about the petition and what comes next.
I think a lot of people are surprised about this petition process and that any 5 residents can, in theory, set in motion a process to remove a sheriff or law enforcement officer. So explain this. How does this work?
Yeah, Nick, North Carolina state law allows for at least 5 people to submit a petition alleging a number of improprieties, such as corruption and extortion. Then either the district attorney or the county attorney decides whether to present the petition to a Superior Court judge. In other words, one of those attorneys decides whether the petition has merit. And if they do, then a judge can decide to suspend the sheriff and, after a hearing, remove them from office.
Now, one of the petitioners calling for McFadden's removal is a fellow Democrat, State House member Carla Cunningham. What is her complaint?
Her complaint is that last year she voted with Republicans for a bill that requires sheriffs to work more closely with federal immigration enforcement. Her vote helped overcome the governor's veto, and it was really controversial. Cunningham alleges that McFadden told her during a phone call that if she voted with the GOP, people would, quote, come after her, and that I don't want to see you get hurt. You live in my county. And she likened that to a mafia boss telling a business owner that they have a nice little store and it would be a shame if anything happened to it. The petition said those alleged comments amount to extortion.
And McFadden's former deputy chief, Kevin Canty, is also one of the petitioners.
That's right. Canty worked for McFadden for about 8 months in 2024 before resigning. And when he left, he publicly said that the sheriff bullied employees and was unfit. There are many other allegations in the complaint, and a lot of them are about safety and general mismanagement, that the sheriff did not run the jail properly, that he ordered staff to work on his campaign website, which, if true, would violate the Hatch Act, which prohibits state and local government officials from working on campaigns. The complaint also said McFadden ordered deputies to drive officials visiting Charlotte for a sheriff's convention to bars and a strip club.
Steve, this petition was filed on Monday, and then hours later, Mecklenburg District Attorney Spencer Merriweather announced he would ask the SBI to review the allegations. How exactly will that work?
So we don't know how long this process is going to take, but Merriweather is a very key player in this. It's his job to decide whether to bring this case to a Superior Court judge. In a news release yesterday, he seemed conflicted about the process, writing that the most fundamentally sound way to remove public officials is just vote them out of office. But he said his office has an obligation to decide whether the petition should move forward. And in his letter to the SBI, Merriweather asked them to look into four specific criminal allegations made. So this just isn't an allegation that the sheriff isn't doing a good job.
Okay, so the DA has asked for an investigation, but McFadden is up for re-election in 2 months in the Democratic primary. Will this be resolved by then?
Really hard to say. The law does require that a hearing be held as soon as possible, but it's difficult to see this being resolved by the first week of March, when McFadden will face three challengers. And since there's no Republican running, the primary decides who will be the next sheriff.
So this will almost certainly be a distraction for the sheriff heading into the primary. Switching gears, has this removal process been used before?
3 years ago in Columbus County, the sheriff resigned after the district attorney filed a petition to remove him from office. The sheriff had made a racist comment in a recorded phone call about a black employee.
And what about McFadden? Is he talking about this petition?
No, he is not. A spokesperson for his office says he's aware of it, but isn't commenting for now. And he has agreed to testify in Raleigh on January 22nd before the State House Oversight Committee. Republican Brendan Jones said the sheriff will be asked about his, quote, mismanagement and blatant regard for state law.
Okay, it sounds like a potential for an explosive hearing. That's WFAE's Steve Harrison. Steve, thanks so much.
Thanks, Nick.
And for Wednesday, January 7th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.